When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, first email comes from Kelly saying, hello, I was watching Silver Bullet tonight and it got me thinking. While I like Silver Bullet, I don't think I've ever seen a scary werewolf movie. The makeup always throws me off, or the werewolf story always feels like a Scooby-Doo episode. Please enlighten me. There's got to be a werewolf movie out there that's decent. That's a fair comment, Kelly.
Yeah.
I'm not a werewolf guy for... I guess I never put it in those terms before, but I think I really understand that comment. There's something, as much as, listen, if I saw a werewolf in real life, yeah, I would totally ruin my pants. But there's something about seeing it in movies that it's just never hit really well for me. That said, I can think of two exceptions for me. It was American Werewolf in London. Mm-hmm. And was it Good Manners?
Good Manners is so magical.
But Good Manners was different, was good for a different reason.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily good because it's a werewolf movie, which I guess spoilers, but not really spoilers. Those are the two I could think of off the top of my head. What do you think, Zena? You watch a lot of werewolf stuff.
I do. So I agree. It is hard to find one that's scary, you know. So ones that scare me. So two came to mind. The first one, Bad Moon. I think that one is still creepy. I love the way the werewolves looked in that one.
Is that the one with the brother who lives out in the woods?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was a good one, too.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then the other one, Late Phases from 2014. That one's awesome. Mm. Creeped me out.
Never saw that one.
I like Late Phases. Yeah, I guess if you're looking at it from a werewolf design perspective, like that one's a very odd one, but I like the movie overall is pretty good. The Howling, I'm kind of surprised that one didn't get dropped because while I'm team American Werewolf in London, there's a lot of creepy werewolf stuff in The Howling, particularly with the serial killer that stalks Dee Wallace's character, like Eddie Quist, and he's got the whole bladder effects bubbling as he's just staring her down while he transforms. Like, that stuff's kind of creepy. Dog Soldiers is also a really good one that I love.
Dog Soldiers is good. I feel I've been seeing so many comments about Dog Soldiers lately. I think there's even a documentary coming out about it.
I don't know if there's a documentary. I know there's like a making of, like, or behind the scenes making of book. Second Sight.
Maybe that's what I'm
Films
thinking
has a special release coming out. Mm. So that could be one. And then there was one more. As far as like, I don't necessarily love this movie, but as far as a new take on werewolves, I thought that The Cursed did a really good job with giving a different spin. So, like, if the normal kind of bipedal or just CGI wolf doesn't work, then The Cursed does a little bit of... it almost reminds me of The Thing with some of the werewolf stuff that they do in that one. So that could be an option, but yeah.
So there, lots of options, and guess who's back?
Hey, it's Max again, and I just want to say, first of all, calling me a super fan just absolutely warmed my heart, so thank you for that. Second, if you're a physical media nerd like me, you've got to have some of your favorite, I think Megan called them boutique labels or distribution labels like Vinegar Syndrome, Severn Films, or Wellgo USA. What are some of your favorites, and what are some of the movies that you'd like to see done in these deluxe treatments that haven't been done yet? Thanks.
Thanks, Max. Always good to hear from you. And you know what? I like bestowing super fan titles. You, Stefan, definitely counts as a super fan. Like, we've got multiple callers, like Margie. Like, I love hearing from you guys over and over again. That sounded reductive when I said over and over again, didn't it? Like I was talking to my kids or something. But no, I like hearing from our listeners. I'm going to stop digging this hole for myself because I don't know what to say. I literally own one Vinegar Syndrome DVD that I've talked about. So I'm going to hand it over to Mrs. Vinegar Syndrome, Megan.
Oh, well, I thank you, I think, maybe. there's a lot. Okay, so besides Vinegar Syndrome, I feel like Second Sight Films, which was just mentioned because they are doing a Dog Soldiers special release. They do a lot of really good releases. Obviously, Xena knows because she wrote an essay on their special release of The Guest. But if you are the type that wants more bang for your buck because a lot of the boutique labels are super pricey, I feel like you get that with Second Sight Films. And they are a UK label, but like I've said before, if you're doing 4K, there's no region involved. So you buy a 4K release, you get all the goodies that comes with it, and they go hard for their releases. I think we all know Scream Factory for some of your more common horror movies, Severin and Synapse. I feel like John might be into Cauldron because they do a lot of the really deep cut kind of found footage stuff, like 1974. I finally got to watch through them. And not a label per se, but if you really want an entry point, I recommend Diabolique. It's with a K instead of a Q-U-E. But Diabolique is really kind of a distributor hub. So you can go there and find all sorts of labels. And they're super nice, super fast shipping. They kind of have everything that you can want if you're looking for, basically, if it's out there, they'll have it.
Yeah.
Wow. Anything to add to that, Xena?
No, I was actually going to say Second Sight Films, and then I was going to say Diabolique. But also, I mean, I guess they're kind of the same thing, Blue Underground, because sometimes they'll they go to like different distributors and stuff like that. Because I spoke to you guys about this last year, I think, with my copy of Two Evil Eyes. This is so beautiful. Ah, my God. But yeah, no, Megan mentioned it all.
Sorry.
So I did the right thing by handing it over to Megan.
She is Mrs. Vinegar Syndrome.
She is Mrs. Vinegar Syndrome. It's her middle name.
It's a really long name. Megan Mrs. Vinegar Syndrome Navarro. Yeah, got it.
Her license is like twice as long as everyone else's. Doesn't fit in a wallet. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you need a magnifying glass to read it.
Speaking of ridiculous, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast. Everyone, the podcast where we discuss all of the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hello.
And you know her from her YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, and her infinite love for the genre, Xena Dixon. Hey, Xena.
Hello.
And I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday, first and foremost, welcome back. We've been gone. We're a little rusty. I'm a little rusty. I'm not going to say that Megan and Xena are. They're always spot on. I am the squeaky wheel here.
You got a case of the Mondays. I totally
forgot what I was talking about. Something about horror weeks and all the best kinds of horror.
Yeah.
And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe the things that make you smile too.
Maybe.
So Xena, what's been filling your heart this week?
That was great. Okay. No, I feel completely squeaky, like a squeaky wheel as well, because this past week it was like a blur and I have no idea what I watched. So I kind of was scrambling within the last hours. I'm not going to lie. Now you know my secret. Okay. So I decided to kind of have like a rewatch because I haven't watched this movie in years, and it's called Almost Dead from 1994. On YouTube. I try to buy like a copy. They have like, they don't have it on Blu-ray, but a DVD copy, but it's like $45. Like what? Okay, anyway, so basically this is about a woman who is a professor and she specializes in research about twins. And now she's just being haunted by her dead mother's ghost everywhere. Like this girl cannot have lunch in peace. Like, come on. So this is a made-for-TV movie. It's like a Lifetime movie. But let me tell you, this movie haunted my childhood. And I couldn't think of the name of it until I was browsing on YouTube and boom, popped up. So this is not a perfect movie. So I'm just going to say that, you know, rewatching it now, because we all, this happened to us before, we watch a movie that scared us as a kid, then we go back and it's just like, ha, you know, but yeah. It just gave me, yeah, it gave me all the feels, but I can totally see why it did creep me out, because it did bring me back. So the main character is Catherine, and is played by Shannon Doherty from 90210, and she was in a lot of movies, and like made-for-TV movies, thriller type of movies in the 90s and early 2000s, and she never had a great relationship with her mother. So her mother dies and she's kind of relieved. You know, she goes to the funeral, pays her respects. Next thing you know, she's seeing her dead mother everywhere. And I don't mean like, oh, she's like far away. It's like she looks like she's real. She's wearing the clothes that she was buried in. She's clearly decaying. She leaves behind a smell and some stuff from her body. Like, it's gross. But yeah, people, I know, but, and people, you know, she tries to tell people what's going on. People say that she's, oh, you're just mourning. Or, I mean, someone even just flat out just called her crazy. And at first, you know, as a viewer, you do think like, okay, there's something wrong with her or whatever the case may be, until she goes to her mother's grave. You know, someone encourages her to go so she'll see that her mother is still in her grave, but the grave is dug up and the coffin is like broken, like someone broke out of it. Like, oh my God. Dun, so dun, it is dun. Like a... Yeah, it is like a mystery, you know, horror thing going on. And again, I have no idea why I watched this movie as a kid. I think I was like 7 and it did scare the crap out of me. And because of this movie, I can say this. I do have a thing about mausoleums. I don't really like mausoleums. So it's this movie that gave me that.
Have you been to a mausoleum, though?
I have.
Oh, you have? Okay.
I have, and I'm not a fan.
My sole experience is watching them on horror movies. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, based on that alone, I can see it. But I've never been, so.
Yeah, sadly, yeah.
I visited them in, like, Louisiana, but I don't know.
I don't know. I'm
talking about in the daylight, too.
But have you been in one of those big indoor ones is what I'm talking about. Like, they
horror movies. Oh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They have these big extravagant ones in movies that I've never been to. Like, I've been to Louisiana or New Orleans cemeteries where you just kind of, yeah, but that's not really the same thing.
Yeah, that's fine. But it's just, there's something about those enclosed ones, you know? And then, of course, obviously, Phantasm, same thing in One Dark Night. Like, forget it.
Big time.
So, but yeah, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I know when you probably hear Lifetime movie made for TV, but honestly, I was like surprised by it. Like, the acting is a little bit cheesy, but the storyline, and there is a twist, and the twist, I did not see it coming, truth be told. And if you do like, you know, made for TV movies, I guess the best way I can describe it, it's like It Follows, but for the Lifetime channel. So we'll have it be that way. Yeah.
If that's not a hook for you, nothing will be.
I hope so. Then the next thing I checked out earlier this week, or last week, gosh, who am I? I watched The Cellar from 2022 on Shudder. Kara Wood's daughter mysteriously vanishes in the cellar of their new house, and she soon discovers there's an ancient and powerful entity controlling their home that she'll have to face or risk losing her family's souls forever. Like, can you imagine buying a house and then it's literally on top of the portal to hell? Like, whoa, that's crazy.
I mean,
so
it happens.
It happens, clearly. The Sentinel. She was minding her own business. But no, surprisingly, I really liked this movie. There was just really something about it that I felt really drawn to. I watched it I put it on so I can go to sleep. And I just found myself up and I was really hooked. So obviously when it comes to haunted house movies, clearly they'll never go out of style. And even though the title suggests like, oh, the cellar, it's just the cellar. No, okay. There's a lot of stuff that happens throughout the house. And I guess the thing that, you know, really like made me go, whoa, this is great. I like the fact that it didn't really rely on like jump scares. And I'm not going to lie, like I do love my jump scares in horror movies, but I love the fact that this one did not rely on that. And it did not rely on like crazy CGI. So I will admit, though, I was really surprised, too, because I was like, wow, I bet everybody else loved this movie. Yeah, I checked the reviews and people did it. And I'm like, what? But I don't know. I thought it was fun. I thought it was intense. It was creepy. I felt like it had like an unpredictable feel because I thought it was going to go a certain way. And then I felt like it had like kind of like an old school type of vibe to it. And then it really did rely on the atmosphere. And then also we don't have like a lot of like Irish horror movies. So it's nice that look at this. We have another Irish horror movie. Add it to the list. So, but yeah, if you like occult and gothic horror movies like me, you may enjoy this one.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I watched Homework, kind of. Basically, I went to Austin to visit my friends and our Bloody Disgusting podcast network sister podcast host from Horror Queers, Trace Thurman. Aww. He organized this extremely intricate tour to all of these filming locations from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise and a couple from Death Proof. So I watched Death Proof to prepare. I have it on DVD, but it's also available on Tubi. I think that whoever wrote the IMDb of synopsis for this movie is silly, because it's basically something to the effect of, you know, a stuntman stalks voluptuous women. What? But anyways, yeah, well, Kurt Russell is stuntman Mike. He's a scarred stuntman who stalks women and uses his special stunt, you know, death-proof car to murder them. And he gets in over his head when he targets a tough group of friends that includes a stunt woman played by real-life stunt woman Zoe Bell. So I love this movie. I've seen it many times. I watched this because two of the stops, like, they're really close together too, but this, the early part where it's showing what he does, what he's capable of by stalking like Jungle Julia and Butterfly and that group of friends, like he follows them from Guero's taco bar to the Texas chili parlor. And then eventually he kills them. And then, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I visited those two spots, and then I watched the 2003 remake, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is on Netflix. And that's after picking up a traumatized young hitchhiker, five friends find themselves stalked and hunted by crazy chainsaw wielding loon and his family of psychopathic killers. So there were 11 stops on this tour. It was a 13-hour tour that started with the original Texas Chainsaw House from the 1974 movie, which is all the way out in Kingsland, and it is now, or Kingsland, Texas, and it is now a functional cafe. So you can dine in this place. And there's pictures on Twitter, especially if you follow Trace Thurman. He went, like, just look at his itinerary, detailed drive times, mile. It is insane. Like, I should post a picture of my packet. It's like a stapled, photographed packet with like information on every stops. Yeah, it was adorable.
That's awesome.
So he should really start up a tour group. But anyway, it started there, and a lot of the stops did include, there was like the TCM2 bridge. There was Cut Right Chainsaw, which is now a bar. There was the Hewitt House from the 2003 remake that we visited. There was the Sealy store, which was the gas station / barbecue place in the 2003 mm-hmm. movie, which actually is a functioning barbecue place. They just closed at 2, and we arrived too late, so I didn't get to eat that. There was the actual house that's, you know, it's private property and people actually live there, but that house, we visited that house. Did I say that already? There were so many stops. The gas station from the original 1974 movie, which surprisingly, like, I thought it would be this kitschy thing, because it is a place now that is like, you walk in, I mean, it looks like right out of the movie, but you walk in and it's like a horror souvenir store. And then out back, they have like a projector where they can watch outdoor movies. They've got the van from the original movie. They've got some cabins that you could stay there. And they also have barbecue. And I thought, because it was almost touristy, that the barbecue would be like the least, but the barbecue was really good. It was really good. So, you know, maybe it was long pig, maybe it was cow, I don't know, but it was tasty. but yeah, so the movies were kind of like secondary, just to like poke out all of the places that I visited. So yeah, that's what I did.
I can't compete with that at all.
Nobody's asking you to compete with
me. Yeah, I mean, just erase what I said.
No.
I mostly stayed at home because it was rainy this week. Aww. I watched some Moon Knight.
You did stuff.
I watched The Batman, which, but I don't think counts as horror. Otherwise,
it kind of does. I would argue that, I mean, he modeled the car after Christine. There's a heavy horror influence on that. That opening scene is a horror movie.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll just backtrack really hard because I forgot that I watched it. and I just remembered now that I watched it. I mean, I really liked it. If that counts for anything. Three hours is a long time to watch any movie.
Oh, is it? It's three hours?
It's 3 hours. But I loved it.
I loved it. I thought, the divergent here, but I thought it was, to me, it felt like the truest version of a Batman movie.
Yeah.
Because Batman, despite what all the movies suggest, is supposed to be the world's greatest detective. And like, that's like a joke within the movie, like that he gets the wrong answer. Like, oh, the world's greatest detective's over here. And like Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
Yeah.
Never would have guessed.
Yeah.
Never would have guessed.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was really good. It's just, you know, about the 2 hour mark, I was like,
whew. Yeah.
I don't think it could have been shorter. I think it needed to be 3 hours. It's just a long time to watch a movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially when you're trying to watch it like 9 in the morning with a little glare on your TV, because you're not going to see anything in this movie if there's any glare.
It's very David Fincher-esque. It's kind of gritty horror. Yeah, that's why. All of these things, I would argue that it's very horror adjacent. There is overlap.
Yeah. There is. I just wasn't prepared to talk about it.
So, and I said, let's go for it, John. Live your life.
And Megan smacked me with some truth. Instead, I came prepared to talk about 1981's The Funhouse, which I watched on Shudder. Four teenagers visit a local carnival for a night of innocent amusement. They soon discover, however, that there's nothing innocent or amusing there at all. That's not a good synopsis for this movie.
Yeah.
IMDb, really, it's just a coin flip with what you get.
It's like Wikipedia. User submitted.
Yeah, is what it is. I don't remember the last time I watched this, and I forgot how long it took to get to the horror aspect of it. It's an hour in. There's only a half hour left by the time stuff happens. It's kind of a classic in its own right. What was it? It was only Tobe Hooper's like third movie or something, or third budget, big budget movie. He had Texas Chainsaw.
Eaten Alive.
What did he have? And then I think it was this.
Yeah, I think so. No, Salem's Lot. He did Salem's Lot.
Oh, but as far as movies, that was the miniseries, right?
Yeah, but it's a long one. So I feel like it counts.
Which Salem's Lot, I think, is also on Shudder. I started watching it, but it was another thing where it's like, ah, crap, this is super long.
Yeah.
I can't commit right now. It's good, though. It's funny, too, because it's not what I remember necessarily. I think I remember the parts you remember from it. And I think I thought it happened earlier, and everything that happens in the funhouse is a lot longer, and it's just not. It happens in a very compact way. I forgot like the side plot with the little brother existed, because that
plot
really,
is so weird. Like,
it's
how
nothing.
It opens.
How it how it opens, like, what is wrong with this little boy?
Yes.
Those parents need to have a talk with him.
Yes.
That he thinks that was okay. And then the spoilers, if you haven't seen it. Well, not really, but they find him, and then they don't really care. They're just like, yeah, we'll take him to bed. And the carny is more concerned about this kid than they are. It's like, what? I feel like you were saying something with this, but I'm not sure what.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, it's the funhouse. It's 81 campy Tobe Hooper type movie.
Don't forget Madam Xena.
Madam Xena kind of being the crux of it all.
What a crazy.
Yeah, I mean, $100. Come on, really? I guess he's not really a haggler.
No,
but he should. But the fact is that I could have got one of the other girls for $15. Talk to me first. Anyway, if you haven't seen Funhouse, go watch it so you can understand what I was just talking about. again, on Shudder. And then also on Shudder, I've started watching The Cursed Films season 2. I don't need any voice behind it. It's just, it's a documentary series on the legends of the supposed cursed films. The first two, I've watched the first two so far, which was The Wizard of Oz and The Omen.
Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, Rosemary's Baby. And it occurred to me, I haven't seen Rosemary's Baby. I was confusing it with something else.
Oh, wow.
Because I was watching it like, what the hell is this?
So you never seen it?
I hadn't, no.
Oh, man.
So while I was watching, I did a quick Wikipedia synopsis.
Homework.
And I was like, what the hell is this? Now I have to go watch Rosemary's
it's
Baby.
It's good.
Yeah.
I think for some reason, I confused Rosemary's Baby with The Omen. I don't know why. I think it's the son of the devil concept or whatever, that in my head, for whatever reason, I just have crossed wires. Like, he is Rosemary's Baby. Damien is Rosemary's Baby sort of thing. I don't know. Something I was talking about this with someone else. I really appreciate that this series isn't just digging its heels in where it's like, these movies are cursed, as much as, okay, here's some stuff that happened in connection, and it's kind of coincidence. It kind of just is. Like, Rosemary's Baby is all about these tangential things. It's not necessarily what happened during production. It's just what happened to people involved in the filming, like Sharon Tate and everything that was going on with the Mansons. So that was kind of like, okay, it was a little bit more of a stretch. I actually really liked the Wizard of Oz one, because they had Adam from Mythbusters. But he's great because it's another, they started out this season with the example of, just because bad things happen to things that we love or have affection for, and there's more than one, people like to call it a curse. It's like, unfortunately, it's just these really unfortunate things that happened, as opposed, and we're trying to like put stuff like the suicidal munchkin that's supposed, like the number of people, and the fact that it only existed in like, I thought it was funny how it only exists in like one cut of a specific VHS release, etc., and then it was like replaced with a bird. But they show this little blob in the background of a VHS print, and they're like, that's a hanging munchkin. You can see totally swinging back and forth, like, what?
Wow.
How someone's mind immediately went to, that was a little person who hanged themselves, and that's clearly their shadow in the background.
It's almost like the precursor to like urban legends and creepypastas, like a cinematic version.
Totally.
Because I remember in high school hearing that and looking for this, and the ghost that was in of the little boy.
Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah. It's, I literally found a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson in the window. These are just myths that and that's kind of the point of cursed films, of how these things take on a life of their own, despite really being accurate.
Well, and that's the pre-internet stuff, right?
Right.
I mean, not that people don't come up with a bunch of BS on the internet, but it was that time where it literally was just word of mouth. You couldn't look it up. You couldn't even find a lot of this stuff, especially if it was a very specific print of a movie, et cetera. It just became a myth. And with no one there to refute it, it's just like what it was. I always wonder how stuff like that really builds, though, because there's a first person. I think about this sometimes, and maybe this is just how ridiculous my brain works. You know, like the saying, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there was a first person who said that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody knows who. And yet, for some reason, like, all parents adopted that saying. Like, was it in a movie and it became popular? Did just one random person say it and another person said, that's a great idea, I'm going to start using that example? Like, it's like this stuff snowballs and it kind of comes from essentially nowhere. It gets lost. There was a first person who said that was a hanging munchkin. Nobody knows who. Like, it's just gone.
That's cruel. Like,
it's all crazy to me how that stuff just, it perpetuates itself. And there will be people you will never convince otherwise. That, like, even if you refute it, they'll be like, nope, they're covering up the truth. The Disney conglomerate or whoever owns Wizard of Oz, like, nope, not going to happen. Judy Garland's estate, nope, not going to let that happen. So it's crazy. But I do like cursed films because I do like hearing, because some of the stuff I never even heard of before. I was
same.
Like the makeup. I didn't know Buddy Ebsen, who famously played Jed Clampett in the Beverly Hillbillies, was supposed to be the Tin Man, but he got like really sick because of like the lead paint makeup.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then there was another rumor that the guy replaced him ended up getting cancer because of it, because there was all these lead particles in the air. And
whoa.
And there's a scene with the Wicked Witch where she disappears, where there's actually like the fireball.
That was insane.
Yeah, that was crazy. It went off too soon. So the lady was basically falling through a trapdoor to disappear through a fireball and got like second degree burns from it. It was crazy. Anyway, it's a fascinating series. I like watching that stuff. Like I said, I don't believe in that stuff, but I like hearing kind of those connections that I never knew. It's a little piece of history. Okay, enough of my rambling. What are we watching? How do we watch it?
So I checked out Almost Dead on YouTube and The Cellar on Shudder.
I watched Death Proof on DVD, but it is available on Tubi, and the 2003 Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is on Netflix. So I could embark on the most detailed tour of my life, courtesy of Trace Thurman.
And I'll tell you what, I might be in Texas in August. I might need just to get that like roadmap from you guys.
Yeah, totally.
Just to see. I watched 1981's The Funhouse, and I've watched season 2 of Cursed Films, both of which are on Shudder. And as prep for next week, I think I might start needing homework.
Okay, we will open the floodgates.
Because now that my schedule is more open, I'm not necessarily sitting at my desk as much as I was, and I need something to tether me to be like, no, I need to do work now. And by work, I mean watch a movie assigned to me by Megan and Zena.
And probably patrons.
Yeah, have at it, patrons. Just tell me what to watch. I have a reader I have to watch for next week that I'm excited to finish watching.
Awesome.
But yeah, starting next week, have them ready. Here we go.
Woo-woo.
I'm nervous as hell. Okay, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's ever Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
David Cronenberg's Crimes of the Future gets a trailer and release date. This was announced as a Cannes competition official selection. David Cronenberg, the body horror master behind Scanners, Videodrome, The Dead Zone, The Fly, A History of Violence... I could go on.
Eastern Promises.
Yeah, so many. Is back with a new sci-fi horror project titled Crimes of the Future. Crimes of the Future will arrive exclusively in theaters on June 3rd in New York and in L.A. Before expanding wide on June 10th. And the teaser gave a first look at stars Lea Seydoux, Viggo Mortensen, and Kristen Stewart. Of course, it also kind of teased some of the body horror from Cronenberg that we love so much and have not seen in a long time. The film's plot reads, as the human species adapts to a synthetic environment, the body undergoes new transformations and mutations. With his partner Caprice, played by Lea Seydoux, Saul Tenser, which is Mortensen, a celebrity performance artist, he publicly showcases the metamorphosis of his organs in an avant-garde performance. Sorry, I'm wrapping my head around what that would be like for a celebrity performance artist to use body transformations for performances. Like, sounds wild, right? I must sneeze.
That's like, like another level of oddly commercialized performance art.
Yeah, but like in a body horror Cronenberg sort of way where I'm like, oh my God, just inject it into my veins, please.
I mean, if anyone needs performance artists in their work, it might as well be Cronenberg.
Right? So Kristen Stewart plays Timlin, an investigator from the National Organ Registry, obsessively tracking their movements, and which is when a mysterious group is revealed. Their mission? To use Saul's notoriety to shed light on the next phase of human evolution. So not only does this plot sound bonkers, but I just love that. I don't know if you've seen the trailer or the, because there's like a teaser US, and then there's like a French teaser, which gives a little bit more.
I don't think I saw that.
Yeah. Then the poster, which is crazy looking, but we haven't seen a Cronenberg kind of body horror since Existence, which was 1999.
Yeah. I was surprised by the trailer. It felt very Cronenberg.
Yeah, which, you know, it makes sense, but he...
But, like, almost like Videodrome Cronenberg. Like, there was... I can't think of another example of...
Existence. It felt very Existence to me.
Yeah. I mean, more like the amount of time that's elapsed, and then to see a trailer and be like, oh, yeah, that's Cronenberg.
Yeah.
Like, that there's just... There's something about that visual that just totally makes sense immediately.
Because I like... I mean, I haven't revisited since they were brand new, but like I like A History of Violence and Eastern Provinces, but those are very different movies. Yeah. They're not, he long departed. So I just think it's super cool that we get to see a Cronenberg movie on the big screen after so many years of him departing away from, you know, genre fare, at least directorially. Like,
And he gave me Dead Ringers vibes. There's this one image where this person kind of has these little antler things, and then their eyes are sewn and mouth is sewn.
Yeah. That must be the performance artist.
Maybe so. We'll find out soon, because,
It kind of reminded me of, like, Stephen King. It's like Shawshank Redemption, Green Mile, where all of a sudden it's like, wait, this is Stephen King?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay, now let's
now we're back in the territory we remember. Yeah. But yeah, to completely switch gears, Anouk Wessel, Johan Carl Wessel, and Francoise Simard, the team behind Turbo Kid and Summer of 18. I'm just going to make up a letter. God dang it. Words. They're hard. Summer of 84. Like, that wasn't that complicated, but I'm going to make it complicated. They're back with a brand new horror comedy called We Are Zombies. We Are Zombies is an adaptation of Jerry Frisson and Guy Davis's comic book series, The Zombies That Ate the World, and it has begun production in Canada. It's disgusting, fun, and politically right on target. Toby Hooper once said of the comic book series, George A. Romero also raved about the project, calling it a terrific series. The high-concept movie is set in a city breeding non-cannibal zombies who are considered living impaired. The offbeat comedic plot follows three slackers looking to earn some easy money who must fight an evil megacorporation to save their kidnapped grandmother. It sounds very Turbo Kid. Like, I could see that. But I do love that, you know, the quotes thrown in from, you know, Romero and Hooper kind of hints at just how old the comic book is. Or maybe not that old. But yeah, either way, I'm into it. And then Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is heading to theaters on August 5th, 2022. And A24... followed up Monday's poster reveal with a brand new trailer on Tuesday. The trailer gives you a look at just how insane A24's latest horror movie will get, both in biting humor and bloody vengeance or violence, as it transforms a seemingly benign party game into something far deadlier when a friend group implodes. And if you don't know, A24's latest is rated R for violence, bloody images, drug use, sexual references, and pervasive language, which means, you know, it's kind of an A24 horror movie. The horror comedy's plot is when a group of rich 20-somethings plan a hurricane party at a remote family mansion, a party game turns deadly, and this fresh and funny look at backstabbing, fake friends, and one party gone very, very wrong. It is not really a slasher, because we've talked about it before, but it is... like a whodunit, and it is kind of poking fun at these very affluent, rich, snobby kids that John is just going to hate.
I'm going to hate him. So I hate him already. I haven't even seen the trailer.
That's also why it's funny.
Sure. Yeah, I can find certain catharsis at the end, but getting to the end is tough.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, see it's poking fun at them. Yeah. So
how miserable their lives really are,
or how appreciate. Fake they are, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it. Trailers available on Tuesday. Check it out. Like, by the time this episode goes live, basically it's available.
All right, listeners, your turn. Are performance artists and David Cronenberg the new chocolate and peanut butter? Should non-cannibal zombie have been my nickname in college? Let's hear about it. You can call us or text us at 224-47.
It's never too late.
I'm a long way out of college, and I'm not going back. I just paid off my student loans. I don't want more.
I just meant it's never too late to be, you know, a non-cannibal zombie.
I'm getting there. I didn't do a whole lot last week.
There you go.
You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is in the show notes, too, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena's going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options, and clue us in on what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
Whoa, guys. It is a very light week.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Very light week, which is fine. But, you know, here we are. We're talking about it. So, first things first, we have Bloody Disgusting TV available, as well as Screenbox. Do not forget that. It's available for you all.
Do not.
Do not. So coming up Friday, the 29th, you know, I want us to get it cracking, get it with hatching. No? Okay.
Never mind. All right. Scramble an omelet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Hatching will be available in theaters and on VOD. A young gymnast who tries desperately to please her demanding mother discovers a strange egg. She hides it and keeps it warm, but when it hatches, what emerges shocks them all. I'm really looking forward to that one. It just looks really cool. It seems different from other movies. Then we have The Avery. It'll be available on VOD. Two women flee into the New Mexican desert to escape the clutches of an insidious cult. Consumed by fear and paranoia, they can't shake the feeling that they are being followed by its leader, a man as seductive as he is controlling. Whoa! Well, that's a spicy description, isn't it? But yeah, that one actually seems pretty cool. I recently just checked out the trailer for that one. And then also on Friday, we have The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs. Season 4 begins on Shudder. So there'll be a new episode on Shudder TV every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, beginning on Friday, the 29th. And then it will be streaming on demand every Sunday, beginning May 1st. So just in case if you can't watch it live. Then on Tuesday, the 3rd. Oh my gosh, and then it'll be May. Yay! So this one isn't new, but I'm really excited that this movie, The Midnight Swim, it will be available on Shudder. It was released back, I think, in either 2014 or 15. No spoilers, but this movie is just really captivating. So Spirit Lake is unusually deep. No diver has ever managed to find the bottom, though many have tried. When Dr. Amelia Brooks disappears during a deep water dive, her three daughters travel home to settle her affairs. They find themselves unable to let go of their mother and become drawn into the mysteries of the lake. So that one will be available on Shudder. There's some really awesome movies coming out on Shudder in May that I'm so pumped about, and I will keep you updated. So
do I spill the beans early, or do we wait for that week for John to get excited? I mean, I tweeted about it, but he's
Okay, Twitter. Well, no, you know what? I think you should get, he needs to know. He needs to know!
What happened?
Well, I just may
Is not... it the Abaddon tapes?
No.
No.
Well, I'm sorry, it's not care. Nearly as exciting now.
Okay.
Popcorn. They're adding popcorn May 9th.
Oh, it's just as good. Yes. I'm so happy.
I know. I thought you would be excited. I was excited. Oh, even though I own it on Blu-ray.
My birthday came early. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I thought you were going to tell him about the other thing, the documentary that's coming. That he's really going to
so
love.
So basically, May is John's month.
John's month?
On yeah. Shutter. Yeah, yeah. You
I know it's
that.
Your birthday month,
popcorn.
Megan. But it's also
Happy
John's
birthday to me.
Month.
John gets good stuff on Shudder.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at LovelyXena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And for even more content and rewards, check us out on Patreon.com/BeDisgustingPod. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Mrs. Vinegar Syndrome.
I'm just Xena.
Oh, not just Xena.
No,
the
you
Xena.
Are the Xena.
I guess.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.